I promised I'd get back to the seven reasons that you're not ready to be a parent, and material that I was sent by my therapist. I had promised to share that, and I plan on doing that. But you know what? I had read through the entire article, which was an amazing read. For those that have difficult parent or parents, and you grew up that way, or you're in a situation, no matter if it's a birth parent, foster parent, adoptive parent, and you're in situations where the relationship is strained or therapists call it, my particular therapist is a difficult parent or difficult parents. And this is a great article. It's about seven signs that you are not ready to be a parent. Here's a good little excerpt from it that I was reading. And it says this basically, the main thing I want you to take out of this is that parenting is far more than just keeping a child alive for 18 years. That little person is watching and modeling you the entire time. So it's important that you get as many of your personal inequities fixed before you bring them into the world. If you're already here, and they're already here with you, get to work on sorting yourself out. Everything you do as a parent matters. And the reality is that your parenting can be a force for good or a force for evil in the world. In the end, it's not about raising your kid to be a doctor or astronaut or billionaire. I thought that was that was towards the end of the article, and we'll continue sharing more of this. And I'm going to put some here on this podcast right down here on the body part of this audio. But it was a really good read. And you're dealing with the difficult parent or parents, you know, and whether you're the black sheep, the bullseye, whatever situation, and you just feel like you're constantly not enough, you know? You're always feeling ridiculed and, you know, critiqued. And nothing you ever do is ever a proud moment for a difficult parent or parents. There's nothing you can do that's right. Everything's wrong. You know, it's pick, 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 nag, 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 pick, pick, pick. You know, instead of in which you have to go through the emotional part of it, we all have to feel. That's part of the process of healing. But when you get out of the feeling and healing stage of it emotionally, you have to look at things logically. I've done a lot of logical thinking over the past year. And this is a part of therapy where we have evolved with therapy, and therapy should evolve. You should have a plan, this plan here, and then you rotate into this, and then you're going to move into this. And I mean, that's really with any good therapist. If you don't feel like you're moving ahead with your therapy, with your mental health, with your therapy, whether it's trauma therapy like I'm seeing now, or psychology or psychiatry or social work or whatever, then you may not be getting the therapy that you need. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, seeking another therapist. You're going to know when the right fit happens. It took me four. I'm going to say four. It's the truth. And so I was referred to this group. Because as I was told, I need trauma therapy because you've been through a lot of stuff, pretty hardcore stuff. So we need to look at logically why this stuff's happening, and we need to dissect it there. Because I think, Kimberly, you've gone through the emotional part a million times over. What you're missing is the logical part. You're missing the other side of your brain. That's where that true closure and healing process begins. And you can move forward and, you know, any therapist say file folder it in your brain and you save what you went through in life. In case you go through and you're in that position again, and also as a valuable tool to help other people, you know, to give people advice, or if you're sharing your own journey, or you're blogging or podcasting and you got an online diary, or you could have a Caring Bridge page yourself in whatever situation. It's like having an internal health doctor. Sometimes it just doesn't fit. And if you feel like you're not going anywhere, not progressing, or you don't feel like you're getting any better, or you feel like it's stagnant, or you feel like there's more to offer with your internal health, is the same as your mental health, is you have a right as a patient to seek a second opinion and to seek another physician. And the current physician doesn't need to know that. And even if they did, when requesting records and maybe slip by, you know, everything's pretty much from paper now to electronical, and it happens to pop up during next visit. Okay, physicians understand whether it's mental health, internal health. They understand you have a right to shop around, you know, and to get second opinions. And it may just not be a personal fit. It should be nothing personal. It never is. And a good physician knows, and a good mental health doctor knows, it's nothing personal. Then they don't take it personal. That's being a professional, not there for, you know, personal time. You're there because this is your career and it should be your passion as well. And they won't take it personal, but sometimes, you know, it happens. But it was a really great article. I have never read anything quite like that. It just makes sense. And some things, you know, it's, and it was a really celebrated article too, in the psychology world. I was talking about it before in the last couple podcasts. Today has been, I'll say yesterday now, it's challenging. I finally was able to get plumbing in because they have been extremely busy. And I think with global warming and the way that the environment and the weather has been this year, it's not too surprising. It's taken this long just to get somebody out. That also I needed the right equipment. It's like having a snake that you would buy to clean a line out, but it's nothing you're going to get at Walmart or Lowe's. I mean, this is like over 250 feet piece of machinery that is very powerful. And they put it into your main line in your house where everything runs together. The goal is to unclog or this machine. And it's basically, it's like a snake, but it's not. It's going to hit any points where there's a clog or there's something that's blocking. It ended up getting past 60 feet is past my property. Let's just say past the front property. And now the clog's coming from somewhere. It's not coming from my side. They were able to do what they could, but just like last time this happened, it was 50 feet out. It went past my property. And I was told, and we give them 6 months, listen, 6 month warranty on this, you know, they were able to about 80% unclog the line. The problem is, this is where the pipes connect between the city and mine. There is issues going on. That's all I can say right now. All I will say about it, but I had the issue happen again. And this time it was worse because the shower literally was backing up the utility tub. And that was a first. Had the shower do a slow leak in the basement from a pipe where the pipe was just overwhelmed because the constant, you know, clogging in the backup of water, it's going to come out somewhere within your pipes. Your pipes aren't meant to sit there and hold water in that kind of pressure. So I was told if you don't get this house sold, I don't know how many contractors have said this to me. I lost track. Every single one. This is temporary Band-Aid. You know, you're going to probably have problems. This is just temporary. Give you 6 months. Again, not able to get everything remedied. We get it to a certain point, but this is probably going to happen again. Probably sooner than later. They did what they could on 2 hours worth of time to do what you can do, but that doesn't guarantee anything. You know, the house needs to be sold. I can't say it again. You know, anybody who sits and communicates with you and constantly, instead of addressing the past and taking ownership for their decisions or lack of or behavior, and instead uses the same excuse, which is excuses are nothing but excuses. Well, that's the past. That's the past. That's the past. That happened past. That happened. If you have not addressed the past, I'm sorry, but that's called right now, right here, now, right now. This is the present. Whatever you don't address from the past is your present time. You're never going to move forward from right here, right now, until you get the baggage from your past. And it takes two to tango. And sometimes there's more than two in the room tangoing on issues. Okay? Everybody knows what I mean on that one. Okay? Everybody tangoing has got to remedy the baggage. Because that baggage every day only gets heavier and heavier and heavier. That weight gets heavier and heavier. And the person I'm receiving in, well, you're going to do like I'm going to do. You're going to free yourself. You're going to move the weight off my shoulders. Any which way you can, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're not going to do it because you're going to finally get therapy. You're going to find the right match and they're going to set you free. They're going to help you release that logically, not emotionally logically. Okay. But all this baggage that an individual or individuals or whatever situation you're in still want to hold on to it because they're still not addressing their part is going absolutely nowhere but on their shoulders for the rest of their life. And I promise you, they'll never tell you, but their weight has only exceeded with time. It doesn't get less. It gets worse. It gets heavier. And dragging all that around. And people who do that don't want to deal with their own behavior. They are not in tune with their emotions. They do not know how to address their behavior. Do narcissistic people do this? Hell yes, they do. Narcissistic people are known to never take ownership for anything they do. They'll put it in the ground with them before they ever take ownership for anything they do, especially if it's really hurtful. If it affected somebody's livelihood, their finances, their health, their life, their relationships, their right to privacy, their right to a peaceful life and happiness. Oh, hell no. A narcissistic person will never own up to anything they do. You can apologize for your part, but I promise you, because I've dealt with narcissistic behavior with people, they never apologize. A narcissistic person never apologizes. Remember, when they don't, after eventually a certain amount of time, they're going to take it to the grave. They're going to take it and bury it with themselves. And they don't care, okay? Because that's what they're going to do. They're not going to address their behavior. They don't want to become in tune with their emotions. And they don't want to check their ego. Because they don't care what they did to you. That's the thing. They don't care. They don't care how they hurt people. And good people don't hurt people. That's just the rule of life. That's not okay. You got to understand, somebody don't take ownership and you're bringing things up. And I'm telling you what, when you do things to people, there are consequences of behavior that comes from emotion, lack of regulating your emotion ends up a lack of regulating your behavior. And we ain't when you are not regulating your emotions, you're not regulating your behavior, you're going to do some things that could really hurt people and end up killing them. I'm going to say it again. When you fail to regulate your emotions, you fail to regulate your behavior, and you're going to end up killing somebody. Because you're going to end up putting them in situations, you're going to put their health in jeopardy if they're already suffering and struggling enough. And nobody that's a good person, good soul, and any normalcy and decency with a heart does that kind of stuff. Except for narcissistic people. That's the only kind of people that does it. It's the truth. It's not a fact. It's a statement. It's not an opinion or statement. It's a fact of life. People understand when you do this, okay, equation, all right, it's going to equal this at the end, okay? And sometimes that mathematical quiz is an addition, an addition, an addition, an addition, because you keep dragging it on. You're not sitting down working out the problem. I said this before. You are just prolonging. That's all you're doing. In hopes that the person that you projected on or you hurt continues to suffer from your lack of regulating your emotion and regulating your behavior, which is a result of an action, okay? And somebody's going to get hurt. It's going to have a response or a reaction. That's normal. That's normal for human beings, okay? All right? Not okay. Not okay. You don't go hurting people. You don't go doing things to people that have long-term consequences, you know? And you know, when you're on a receiving end and somebody or multiple people are in a situation, or you're dealing with narcissistic people and it is a group of people, because narcs hang around narcs, it's a cult. Psychological world, cult, very devilish, demonic, dark people. That's in psychology world. They believe that because they hang around only but narcs. They're not going to hang around empathetic people. They're not going to hang around good souls. They're going to hang around people that will literally use and abuse and do whatever they need to suck dry whatever they need from people. They don't care how they hurt people. They don't care what they do. And they don't care if it ends up costing their life either. They don't care. They don't care. You know? And you can try to sit there and try to make them care all day long. I've said this before, I'll say it again, coming from two therapists that I've seen. Past the point, people like that are past the point of therapy. They're way past the point. It would never work, period. As long as somebody stays in a behavior, it's not regulated, they're not regulating emotions, they're not regulating their actions, worse they get with time. It doesn't get better, it's worse than time. And what they do in projecting people and things that they do only gets more darker, it gets more hurtful, and it gets more vengeful. And there's no therapist in the world that's going to correct that. It's not to say people with narcissistic personality disorder cannot be treated by mental health. It takes a hell of a specialist, as I was told, and it takes a lot of time. And people that are narcissistic do not like specialists to start with. They don't like mental health providers. They think it's a joke. And they don't care if you're seeing one. They're still going to call you crazy, everybody. You know, their way of scapegoating somebody, and the way of covering up when their masks slip or they slip through a mask themselves is to call the person that they're projecting on as crazy. They're insane. Oh my God, be careful. Blah, 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 blah. Oh my God. And a typical thing is when they go to somebody and they want to do a slander fest, the first thing a narcissistic person will do is usually head of snake or the head of snake assistant, because the head of snake always has an assistant. That's the head of snake in training. That's going to take over the baton and the torch, okay? You know, and the first thing they'll do when they contact somebody, and this is true, it's very true, talk to anybody who's dealt with narcissistic personality disorder abuse by a narc, okay? First thing they'll do is, hey, I'll send a note. Do you know so-and-so? Do you know so-and-so? Oh, did you find anything strange or weird about them? Have you had, like, I mean, are you concerned? I mean, have you ever, like, yeah, have you ever? What they're doing as a narcissistic snake is planting the seed in someone that they're not certain of yet because they're still feeling them out. They're not sure if they're dealing with an empath. Someone who is neutral, meaning they're not an empath, but they're not a narc. They're kind of in the middle. You know, they're stand their own ground. Or they're not, no, if they don't know if they're dealing with another narc. Now, they know if they're dealing with another narc because their response is going to be exactly what they're looking for. But if they're uncertain and somebody responds back, especially if they're empathetic and they say, well, no, I haven't. I mean, I think they're a good person. This is this. But if you always have that one person that's in the middle ground, like, well, what do you mean? Well, what are you talking about? Could you elaborate a little bit more? And then you'll have the empath. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I know what you mean. Blah, 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 blah. And then they'll gang together and it's like, oh, please come to my side. Oh, you're already on your dark side. Would you like to collaborate with Devils or Us on this side? Oh, okay. You got your own Devils or Us group. What are you going to be following? DevilsOrDevils.com. I got that costume too. Yes, I did. I did. Buy one, get one free if you know another narcissistic demon devil. Okay, wow. Join together. We'll have 50 of them. 50 costumes. Buy one, get free. As 25 each. I'm going to take all that money. You don't know it yet, but I'm going to take your discount and I'm going to keep it. Oh, really? You're a narc? You think you keep my money? We're going to battle. Ever see two narcissistic people battle? Is the greatest battle you'll ever see. It's rare. You haven't seen it? Because it's rare. Because there's always going to be a power struggle between two narcs. That's why you never see it. Because the head snake will always win. They're going to threaten them. They're going to put them back down the next level. That's right. I'm the head narc. Sorry, take the narc seat behind me. All right, the pitchfork seat. Yes, you need to take that because I'm the head snake. What I say goes. That's right. If they really want to get their projection and they want to aim fire, and they really want to get them in trouble, they really want to get them this or really want to get them that, they will play. That's right. They'll play the crazy card. That's right. Oh, yeah. Something will happen or something will be said, or someone who is an empath of the projection, the bullseye, will finally stick up for themselves. They'll wait till they're around another narc in their group, their cult, whatever you'll call it, you know, psychology world, and they'll wait and they'll be this overdramatic narc. Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah! Oh my God! And they'll make the person that is part of the narc group. The thing is the other narc never hears the full conversation. They only get bits and smidgens and pieces of what the head narc or snake is saying, of what is really not happening, but they will elaborate and make a mountain out of a molehill, so to say, you know, we say making a mountain out of a molehill. They will take a mountain out of a molehill just to get the bullseye target that the group already is on it anyway, to even like make them more bait, to abuse them even more, whatever that abuse may be, because a narc will do multiple things to people and they don't care what the end result. If it ends up taking their life, they don't care. They're the most callous people you'll ever come across and they have no damn feelings. They don't care about anybody but themselves. They don't care of consequences for their actions. They will never apologize. They will elaborate. They will, they're very overdramatic. You'll never hear the full side, only what they're saying makes you wonder outside of the narc circle, cult group, whatever you want to call it. Okay, what's really going on here? And people standing out and wondering, That's when I say people do the dip. They do the slow dip when they know that something ain't right and they don't want to get involved. Are usually empaths or people that are in the middle. I'm not feeling this anymore. This does not make any sense. This is weird. Something's weird going on. That's because your gut is telling you there is something weird going on. And your inner instinct, fight or flight, is saying, I don't want to be involved. Now you're fearful because you're thinking, if they're doing this to this person, what the hell would they do to me? Here, let me answer it for you. A narc will do the same thing to you. And if they can do it even worse, they're going to do it. What your instinct is telling you is run like hell. And you don't want to be on the pitchfork side or the tip of the pitchfork of the head snake of a narc group or cult, or psychology, they say group and cult. That's the truth. They don't want to be on the pitchfork. So they have to do slow drift. They have to figure out however they can do without getting damaged during the exit. You know, that happens when people get, you know, like, this ain't right. You know, and everybody knows eventually when things ain't right. When things are going down and somebody just feels like, you know, they're constantly on the bullseye projection, something ain't right. Something ain't right. What happened to them? Where are they at? Why don't I see them? Where'd they go? Why ain't they here? Why ain't they there? Why don't we see this? Why? Where's the other side? Why are they constantly like, I mean, why is it every time I see them, they're projecting on the person? They're always sitting there talking about this person. I don't understand. Where's the other side? Why does this feel weird? Why do I not feel right? Why does this not seem right? Because it's not. Why do I feel this way? Well, that's your instinct saying this isn't good. And you want to exit this, don't you? All right. But you don't want to end up the injured person either. You don't want to be the projection in the bullseye. You don't want to be enemy number 50 or 100, however many, you know, enemies of projection and gaslighting and whatever narcs do, you know, because they have a mountain of bag of tricks, you know. It's not serial either. Sorry, that's funny. You don't want to end up on the receiving end of bad tidings of joy either, because you see what they've already done to an individual or individuals. So your gut's saying you need to get away from this person and away from them connected, because this isn't okay. Whatever, how you slice it, dice it around the world, what's the village, community, cult, group, whatever you want to say. That's your exit, your saving grace, because you don't want to be around that. You know, you get that bad feeling. I'm telling you, it's like I said, you know, I can tell when somebody has not a good soul and there's some dark energy to them. I can tell exactly when somebody has dark energy and there's not good tendencies towards people. There's something not right. There's something within them. I feel like it's an invisible shield and I'm bouncing off of it. That I knew I didn't need a therapist to tell me is just your inner self, your soul protecting you. That's your fight or flight mode. It's a radar saying this person is not good. This situation is not good. This person involved in this, whatever, and I need to stay away, you know? And then you get people clarify that. And people come forward, clarify, and they're at a high power. And they, like, you know, and they're protecting you. I've had situations where I've had people at high rank warn me, stay away. I know that you're this kind of person and you're not like this kind of person, but you don't want to be around this or that, whatever, because it's not good. And I'm just telling you, if I was you, I wouldn't want to be around it either. It's not good for you. You need to stay away. You need to remove yourself. You need to blah, 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 blah. I've had people of high power tell me that. And in every situation, which is the truth, except for one, which was an attorney, I asked the attorney is, why do you say that? What's going on? The thing is, they knew I didn't know what was really going on. Why this was going on, why these things were happening to me. Why did I feel like a punching bag? What the hell was I dealing with? What does narcissistic mean, Ohio? You know, a psychologist, what's narcissistic personality disorder mean? What's narcissism mean? What's narcissistic psychopath, sociopath? I didn't know. And then those who knew I didn't know, who were not narcissistic people, were trying to protect me. Many times, and unfortunately, the majority of times, I didn't listen because I lacked for trauma therapists, the logical reasoning of why they were saying it. You're trying to make sense of something you can't make sense of. What you needed was a logical reason why, because you didn't understand narcissism. You didn't understand, and you didn't know what's going on. You know? And that's the truth. Until an attorney warned me. When an attorney warned me, it was verbatim, because I got to blah, 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 of narcissistic behavior from blah, 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 blah. And I was front and center, blah, 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 blah. And I'm telling you right now, you need to stay away. Could you tell me more? It would be way too hurtful for you. I don't think it's good for you with your health. I don't think it would benefit you and only hurt you. And I'm just going to say, please stay away. I ended up connecting with them later down the road. It was about a couple years ago, I believe. And we crossed paths, and they verbatim asked me, did you stay away? Have you stayed away? I wasn't completely honest. And if they're listening to this podcast, which they probably are, I was not completely honest with you. I didn't. Because 2 years ago was the beginning of starting with trauma therapy, and I still didn't know the logical sense of being of what the hell was going on. I felt in a fog still, in and out of the fog, and I didn't know what was happening. And when they asked me, was I staying away, I said, well, yeah. And the first response they said was, good, I'm glad. That's good, I'm glad. You know, take care, and I wish you well, blah, blah, blah. I did. You know, it took for me, I think, as an empath, and because I'm true to my sign, a Scorpio, I had to know, and I have to know the logical sense. Not the emotional side. I have to know the logical sense of things, okay? And that has been me. I've realized my entire life with therapy. I've realized that. Dealing with things that were rare with my health. Doing rescans after a new oncology told me after the third treatment, we're not able to get this thing. This thing's too large. It's wrapped around your intestines. We're not going to be able to obliviate it. We can't even probably get it on target. Now we're shooting radiation on every other organ around it, and things are going to get real bad. But we still want to try. And I gave it my all. And the last, what, two or three visits I called. I called lead oncologist, excuse me. I can't do this. I'm too damn sick. Oh, it's like whiteout, you know, whiteout ink. I was that white. I was so sick. They had faith I could reach deep within. Please just show up. We'll work through it. But the puke pan next to me, I'd said this before, and I got through the last three sessions, and it kicked my ass. It kicked my ass. I think the people that were warning me, they knew I was going through. They knew everything I was going through, and they didn't want to add on any additional stress or cause me emotional distress. They wanted to see the best for me, and they were protecting me without even being connected. They were protecting me without really knowing me, but they were well-versed in what's going on. They had been around the situations of individuals far more than I had and ever have for a long period of time. And they knew what was going through, and it was a way of protecting me. And you know, now I see for what it is. I always say there's good people in this world, good souls. I always felt like I didn't have what I needed for the emotional support and for those to even people to give a damn what I was going through. But in reality, it's really not true, because I did. It just wasn't the people that the people should have been the people. But there were people. And I know there were people. Because it was those people that protected me. And when I did ask, they still protected me. It took me to learn the logical sense of what the hell I was going through for me to stop. Okay. It's kind of emptying the cookie jar and turn upside down. You get down to the crumbs, last of last. You know, the last crumb. That's it. You know? You still deal with the cookie jar, still putting, you know, the cookie jar is still full, still putting your hand back in the cookie jar. And I did it. And then you start understanding logically, making sense. Like I said, it's like continue to do rescans. Now I look at it was asinine because every rescan, what, over 13 rescans, stop the share. After the last one, that was it. It wasn't going anywhere. Logically, it made no sense. Especially CT scans, you're still giving yourself not radiation like what I went through, but you're still subjecting yourself. And what's the point? Logically, I have to deal with what I'm dealing with in the progression. And then things got easier. As I explained on the Caring Bridge page yesterday evening, is making sense now of new pain, neuropathy. Never understood it because I never went through it. And knowing that that's a consequence of progression of things. And neuropathy, it spreads. And it's a strange pain. And it's just, I don't have any words for it. It wakes you up, it keeps you awake. And it's a hard pain for even palliative care, whether hospice, depending what you're under, to get a hold of and stay on top of, because it continues to progress. Now, instead of spending time the scans and things that won't matter and never would matter, I'm focusing on what matters is get this damn pain under control so I can get some normal sleep and not be up and down like a yo-yo, you know? You're still up and down like a yo-yo. You can't go out in the world taking out everybody because you're up and down like a yo-yo, you're not feeling well. I'm an empath, so I know you don't do that, okay? Can't do that, you know? I'm not feeling well. I'm going to send a E note to my provider, my hospital care, and I'm going to address it with therapist. That's what you do, okay? You don't aim fire. But narcs will. They have a bad day? You're going to have a bad day. If they're going to test you. Can I test you? Can I see if I can poke you again? You want to be pokey the bear for me? You want to be poke. Arr! Oh. Oh, pokey the bear. Sorry, that's funny. Should be a louder. Yeah, exactly. Should be like that. Ah, pokey the bear, don't take it no more. No, does she? No, I don't, because I'm going to poke back. Yes, I'm going to poke back with the bigger pokey the bear. If you're going to dish it out, you got to take it back, because sometimes people got to understand. Some people you don't want to know. They're not the same. They're not a punching bag anymore. Okay, they evolved and they grew, and now they're bigger and badder before because they got some self-respect, and they're not going to put up with it. It's not a line of sand. Like I said, it's concrete steel. You don't want to poke pokey the bear now. And you realized, oh, that's not good. Okay, on to the next supply, on to the next project. Oh, already have them because narcs already have them in the closet. They already have, they just got to pick a mask and put that on. Okay, pick the next target, pick them out. You're never going to get through the hard times in life if you continue falling back on emotion. Because sometimes you have to realize is when things happen in life and it's traumatic, it's really hurtful. We're talking some deep hurt behavior, whether it's from a narcissistic person, whether it's from whoever. Okay, someone that you thought that you loved you back, whether it's relation, whether it's connected, whether it's family, whether it's best friend, whether it's spouse, whatever. Okay, you got to go through right now what's going on. You got to deal head on with the problem. Because if you think you're going to keep throwing it back and thinking that you know, that behavior that I'm always told for the same individual, oh, that's the past. Bring the past. That's the past. That's being a scapegoat. You're being a scapegoat. Bah. Not that kind either. You're part of the past is your present right now. And every time you say that, you're adding another brick on your shoulders. That's weight. Nobody's doing that behavior, making that decision but yourself. Why don't you just address your part? No? I mean, you know, I know personally I've apologized for my reaction and responses to behavior towards me, period. I was told by professionals is your response was nothing compared to normal. Somebody who's not an empath would have responded, oh God, really harsh. Yours is minor. You could have responded back a lot worse. But you were fighting a different battle with your health. And you can't, you had to conserve your energy. Can't battle too. And you realize you couldn't. Yeah. You didn't have that time. But they did. And they took full advantage of it. But you're never going to get anywhere with somebody. What I'm saying, it does not address the past. When you have still not addressed the past and you want to run, evade, and hide and avoid, you will continue carrying the past with you, per my therapist, for the rest of your life. And if you make the decision to carry it to the grave, that is your personal decision. And nobody can change that, not even a therapist. It's your decision. And unfortunately, as I was told, there's a lot of people who do that. We call them narcissistic people. Because only narcissistic people never apologize. They never take ownership and they never address their actions, behavior, and past and how hurtful things can do or be. And their reactions and consequences that can be long-term. Because only a narc will do things that's very damning and damaging to people. And people that are in situations, whether financially with their health, you know, down in life, whatever, they will hit the deepest and hardest to those kind of people. Because they love doing that. You know, they're people that hurt people. You know, you don't hurt people that are already hurt. But you're never going to, and some people, especially narcs, ever going to get them to understand that you're the only one carrying the baggage of the past. I already addressed it. I made sense of it logically. I went through the emotional part first. I made sense logically, a therapist. And now I'm in the point of healing. And the ways and means that I heal. Because everybody has a right to heal on their own terms and the way that they heal. Because a way of healing for each individual is unique within the person themselves. The only one that doesn't benefit moving forward is somebody who's not addressing the past. So if you think the past goes away, it doesn't. And sometimes when you do things to people, the consequences roll and you affect them in parts of their life for the rest of their life. So you're trying to say, when you do that to somebody, that you don't owe them an explanation followed by logical apology, you're not normal. And that's not normal behavior. But that's your behavior. And that's your right to own it. And you could take that for the rest of your life. Period.